So, Dala, now we have both clapped.
So, yes. And welcome to our fifth podcast episode. Already the second one this year. Today, we're looking at the topic, who exactly does what here? Roles and responsibilities between clients and Billbox. I think this is also often discussed in training sessions, and maybe it will help one or two of you. Or maybe it should be discussed more in training sessions, I don't know. Before we get started, just another quick request to please follow our podcast on Spotify and also our Instagram channel at Billbox Official. And you can also check LinkedIn for a quick heads up on when the new episode goes live. That will make sure that you stay up to date.
We swear, once we get 1,000 monthly listeners, there'll definitely be something extra.
I wanted to ask you, for us today is Friday and we are recording on January 16th. And so, how has your week been, Florian?
Wow, we didn't clear this beforehand. It was actually pretty cool. Since we operate internationally with Billbox. Now, depending on where you're listening to this podcast from, that really sounds like a big word. But indeed, I actually was over in Switzerland visiting some of our very own clients. And then I was also in Spain with a new existing client, a brand new tax firm that is currently working together with us. So meetings with our software partners. And then just this morning with a very well-known top manager of one of the most famous companies in Europe. And we really spent 3 hours. Really exciting, unfortunately. I cannot disclose his name, but it was actually pretty cool. Apparently, I like talking to super interesting people in different places about boring topics. And also, among other things, today's topic, collaboration. Who actually does what? When we talk about AI and automation and software, everyone assumes the future will just be AI. But that's not quite true. So in that sense, I had a bit of an exciting week in different places with exciting people, including on the topic of collaboration between humans and machines, AI, and the real world of economic processes.
Okay. Oh, then let's move on now to hopefully not quite so boring topics with exciting people. The question here is probably, we can probably approach this in a lot of different ways. When I think of responsibilities now and this whole topic of customer Billbox, I often think of a legal hierarchy within the Billbox system. So, even within a customer setup, so to speak, there are different people who are allowed to do different things and some who aren't. What is the best way for us to approach this? What would you recommend?
I guess I always tend to think, you know, that I am someone who thinks very much in pictures and works a whole lot with examples from real life. And we can try it this way. So if I explain it like this, even when I explain this Billbox and the rights and duties, because we have a collaboration and a division of labor, which has to do with rights and duties, I actually really like to use a house. Or even several houses and say there is a whole bunch of keys. And then you can always explain it pretty well. With houses, it works really well in the area between. I have this keyring here with keys to my company on it. And maybe there's a keyring for a car on it. Maybe also a keyring for some shed and a keyring for a holiday home. And within these objects, which we can all pretty much picture, there are very different permissions and also very different duties. Maybe. We let friends stay in the vacation home and they get the key. But we have to decide, do I give my friends the whole key ring? Which also has the car key. And the key to our own house attached to it, or perhaps not. And do your friends have to mow the lawn or not? And if they mow the lawn, which would be a chore, they'd also need the key to the shed because that's where the lawnmower is. I believe that is how you can picture it in the digital world of such commercial processes. At least that would be one way to explain it. If we take a look at what that actually means, if I ever find myself at a loss, I might perhaps use the example of keys, rooms, and vehicles.
Okay, would it help if we walk through an invoice now, as in the process of an invoice, who has to do what and when, and how does that work? Should we perhaps take the example from the previous episode and then maybe use the permissions to walk our way through it?
Yeah. I do think that's a valid suggestion.
Okay, so then maybe we should start with the supplier, or where would you want to start?
Yeah, so just like last time, let's assume an order has been placed somehow, doesn't matter how. And somehow the service has been provided and the goods have been delivered, and now we are jumping in right in the middle of the process and an invoice has now been sent. So, and here, of course, from the perspective of the user, the customer, there's absolutely no reason why a human should have to do anything. So it is received by a machine, read by a machine, interpreted by a machine, and posted by a machine as it is mathematically correct and it is tax compliant. So that's what it does. That means the responsibility lies within the software, in the application. So there's the... Watch out. I already mentioned legal responsibility. You must always be careful. In the end, of course, customers still need to make sure their data is actually verified and the IBANs are correct. But a very, very strict check by the tech, by the technology, by the service, Billbox. And now we are already on the topic of division of labor. There are just very different revenue areas and very different cost areas. Most of the time, clients have... That is also split up. There are very few one-woman or one-man businesses that actually use Billbox. There are some, but very few. Most of the time, our clients share the workload. And that means that in those situations, someone there is going to be in charge of Department A or Product Group B or Project C. That means this invoice approval is being carried out by different people, first of all. But when you talk about responsibility, who's in charge of that? 100% the Billbox users, meaning the customers, clients, accounts, whatever you want to call them. Billbox doesn't do any content review, absolutely never. It doesn't say whether the lawyer was too expensive or too cheap. Now, all lawyers, please look away. Lawyers are always expensive, but never too expensive. So that means this review, that's correct. The lawyer worked for 3 hours and the hourly rate is allowed to be this much. Or I bought 5,000 screws, and the quality and price were right, so that's 100% on the customer.
Okay, so the customer says in this specific case, yes, that's correct, it did happen, those 3 hours can be... Or it's not correct, okay? And the customer says it's not correct.
Then the tech helps them again. The tech knows the contacts at the supplier. The tech can instantly recreate this document. A customer could also generate an internal document, create a credit note, deduct items ERP-wise. So that is where the technology really supports him once again in terms of time. But the responsibility for this content clarification in case of right or wrong is down to a human being at the end of the day.
Is it true?
What happens next? Then this person says, okay. So digital signature, they do that in the mobile app or in the web-based workflow, or as discussed last time, right in their ERP system, in their merchandise management system, it doesn't matter. If you want, sometimes there are still paper documents like a delivery note, which you can just scan with the Billbox mobile app and it's attached. So then you also have the information from the place of goods receipt when we're talking about goods, right there with the invoice. There are very different preferences. Often depending on the industry and company size, sometimes also on the country. There are indeed companies that really want to have a whole lot of review steps after that. And in some industries, different people will check different things. For example, someone can do that. There are indeed some customers who, in exotic countries, even before the actual content check, have a tax expert look at it. Double check if the invoice is also tax compliant before it even goes to the content check, so the customers decide entirely for themselves how deeply or how collaboratively they want to take on this responsibility. We refer to that, for example, as check one, check two, there is even check three. Then there might be payment approval one, and some have payment approval two. Really crazy cases. I'm not a fan of doing like thousands of clicks, but payment approval three You can distribute these signatures very widely. That depends on the trades or the amount. So there's really a rule of thumb: the bigger the client, the more complex the workflows. That doesn't really make my comment any better or any smarter at all. I think from my perspective, you just need to spread out the steps a bit better. But that's always kind of like consulting, where we say, man, that could have been done easier. He doesn't really need that many clicks, but there's a time-consuming content review. There's a working time process that's often payment prioritization. Should that be paid at some point, and when and how, with or without a discount? And there's a division of labor in the booking and account assignment process that shouldn't be underestimated either. As you imagine, that's also about labor division and responsibility. There are indeed some Billbox clients who actually choose to do their accounting completely by themselves. So they do the booking themselves. They do maybe up to sales tax, advance returns, monthly closing, annual accounts all themselves. Larger clients then hand these accounts over to an auditor or tax advisor for auditing or certification. And then, of course, there are also clients who aren't always necessarily smaller, but not only who outsource this entire bookkeeping to members of the tax advisory professions, meaning trustees and tax advisors, who then not only handle the tax consulting for them, but also the bookkeeping as well as accounting. And then there's the third case. Those are the clients I personally like the most, who share the work. They tend to do those things that they are much better at themselves inside the Billbox, usually a pre-accounting. And when it comes down to things like liability risks or tax risks, they are like, oh, those guys have actually fully studied all of this stuff, so just let them handle it. And this can be easily distributed in this collaborative workflow. So those are the three types of shared responsibility and division of labor for accounting, the various tax aspects, as well as the costs and revenues.
And how are rights granted, and what are typical misunderstandings? So maybe we can just briefly touch on how that actually works in Billbox.
That is actually a huge topic. That was, I think, even... there's a big phrase like, I'm authorized for everything, or here's a new user, they should have all permissions. Everything is just a big word. Everything is basically like having the big keychain in the house. So there is the beach house over in Portugal, and the office key in Zurich, and the motorcycle key belonging to the bike that is currently sitting inside a shed in Prague. Just to paint a picture here, a kind of a glamorous picture, and it absolutely makes no sense at all to give this entire bunch of keys to the friend who is going to have that vacation home for just a single week. So first of all, to understand, what do you mean by everything? This actually leads to us usually defining and setting up the first users and roles. With our customer success team, especially in the initial phase, before the customers basically take over the key issuance themselves, we always play through it first. Because you have to imagine, that's really easy for a very small, uncomplicated business. If a client, for example, is active only within one single country with just one single company that maybe happens to maintain a permanent establishment and perhaps only has a very few users, then that is much less complicated than if someone has got multiple companies in, maybe even in multiple different countries. And then there might also be someone who is acting as the managing director in Austria, but perhaps not authorized for the company over in Germany. So we always have to understand, or the clients always have to understand, what do we actually mean by ecosystem, and what do we actually mean by structure? That sometimes causes translation issues, where we might ask in a particularly nerdy way, excuse me, what do you mean by everything? Do you mean your company in France as well, or do you actually just mean every single thing over in Austria? And in that sense, it often makes a lot of sense to talk to people who have an overview of the entire organization. That right there was just a little bit of a spoiler or a fun fact. That is what actually led to our third claim after 20 years, I believe, becoming as smart as your vision. That always sounds a bit overstepping, arrogant, and elitist, but it's just okay when I, well, have an overview here within my perimeter. That does not mean that I also look behind the wall that is standing here on my property. And if someone is sitting on the wall now, they can see left and right. And if both sides belong to their property, then it often makes sense that this person is also the one to manage it. How the division of labor actually works in this whole construct. I hope that house metaphor still makes some sense. Now, it also has a wall in the garden.
Yeah, I think that actually works quite well. So we've already addressed one typical misunderstanding, which is that people somehow want to, at first, everyone to be able to do everything, only to realize it might not be a great idea. Because what could go wrong if all of a sudden too many people...
So really bad. In the past, we bored everyone because we always said, yeah, and one of Billbox's USPs is compliance. And even if we're on about this boring word compliance, I mean, that's not just some buzzword. It's not just a cash grab by consultants. But now, of course, suddenly over the last few years, people are realizing, oh, the times, Gelsenkirchen aside, when cool George Clooney types would drill holes in the basement, too then. Clean out some safe deposit boxes. They're coming to an end, we think, even though Gelsenkirchen was really a massive counterexample. But the major crimes of the future, we believe, will involve some guys. Sitting in gaming chairs somewhere out there, simply breaking into these banks digitally for a lot of cash, by stealing IBANs and fake identities, and shutting down software systems. So if these user rights are not managed properly, there are very great risks of data falling into the wrong hands and or money falling into the wrong hands. And that's something where it's been easier for us in the last year or two to say, yes, we place so much value on this compliance that we also take fraud prevention very, very, very seriously. And that's often the deciding factor. For example, when we're dealing with a manager, we quite often have to deal with people from finance or from accounting who, of course, because of their training, say, I am able to do all of this. Ms. Beckman, I can do all of this. Which is when we say, hold on, but you don't want to do all of this. It is not about you as an individual, C. Beckman, but it is about the user accounts of C. Beckman. And if a single user account is allowed to do and access absolutely everything, security is usually going to be much lower than when you have multiple accounts with different areas of responsibility, and then also things like 2 or sometimes even 3-factor authentication. We are most definitely going to witness an absolutely massive upgrade over the course of the coming years, because by now it has become so incredibly easy to steal both data and money. If clients, their own systems, and their service providers do not really actively prepare themselves for it. That requires a solid, proper concept alongside many, many other factors that can indeed easily go wrong.
I keep thinking about various misunderstandings that can somehow happen between Billbox and the customer. Could it be that the invoice sometimes gets stuck somewhere in the process and the customer thinks, oh, that's something Billbox has to do right now, but Billbox actually knows that the customer actually needs to do something right now and then things just kind of grind to a halt? Or rather, can you think of any situations like that?
Yeah, we've got a few real classic examples, of course. For instance, we have... there's a tagging function in Billbox. There's a communication function, and there's a support function. I'll explain that real quick. With tagging, if we both work at the same company, I can tag you and say, hey, can you take care of this invoice or this one? And then you get a to-do in your Billbox workflow. Hey, someone said, please take a look at this or keep an eye on this. That's tagging. Then there are notes. That's for when you just want to say, oh, I took care of this, or I'm still waiting on something here. Authorized users can see that too. It goes right through the workflow. And then there's support. So of course, I shouldn't really say that mistakes do indeed sometimes happen, but with us, it is very much technology plus human. And everywhere where, well, people and people plus technology work, mistakes do happen. I openly admit that we've made mistakes in the past too, which I assume will never happen again in the future, but that happens. Always where. People cooperate and collaborate, and then, of course, there are ways for our customers to interact with Billbox, to get support. The first punchline was that a customer, we eventually had them, we do these semi-annual reviews with our clients and say, hey, how satisfied are you? So functionality is great, but the support from Billbox is really terrible. Oh my God, why? Yeah, we have written dozens of messages to your support and never got any reply. And then we realized that the support function had been confused with the notes and tagging. And then we said, oh, we're so deeply embarrassed that we didn't make it clear to you that this is a, one is an internal communication channel and the other is external. So it was like, wow, really such a bad misunderstanding.
That means, just very quickly, maybe one more follow-up question. So with the tagging and the notes, that is something that can only be seen between different employees of both clients. You guys are not able to see that.
No single employee of Billbox will ever in any way look into a client's account without their explicit permission and approval, nor would they ever want to do something like that. So you can always think of it like a bank. It would be an absolute nightmare for me if I lived in a building and next door in the apartment lived someone from my bank, I don't know, a cantonal bank, if I constantly had to live with the feeling that my neighbor was snooping around in my bank account every other day. That's none of your business. And of course, it's the same with Billbox, because we, as a general rule, completely digitally transform our customers' accounts receivable and payable. It makes absolute sense that we can't have any interest in that, nor do we have the rights to spy on our customers. And that is just a misunderstanding, because customers might think they're definitely looking in there if I write something, and they don't. So that's really, really important. That also sets us apart from many solutions that also have a purchasing mandate to optimize purchasing or something like that. That's what Billbox deliberately doesn't do. Right, yeah. And as for other things, you also asked about delays and stuff like that. Yeah, so we have that too. Of course, there's, and the more often we get a receipt or an invoice or something like that, the longer it takes. So the fewer ground rules are followed by the supplier and sometimes also by the customer. The longer it takes, and those are typical traffic jam effects. Once you have a jam, you get a rear-end collision inside it, and then you have a massive gridlock. So that is perhaps also a picture that you might very well be familiar with from your own real life. And if, for example, there are complex transactions that require verification and so on, and then maybe the customer only got a copy, that would already be wrong, that an invoice isn't just sent to Billbox, but also in three copies, CC, BCC. That is sort of the plague of modern day organizations, these CC and BCC emails, in my opinion. And then a customer might say, for example, I received a copy of an invoice 2 days ago. Why isn't it online yet? And the worst that can happen is the customer sends the invoice to Billbox again. Here it is once again, by the way. And then all of a sudden, it is just like a fender bender. Because on top of the formal check, there is also going to be a duplicate check. And then machines start analyzing whether it is really the exact same invoice. I mean, these are real absurdities. Sometimes you just have to wonder. For normal people, it's like, what are they actually busy with? Is that really a thing then? But when you look at stuff like that, it's actually pretty funny. But of course, in that moment, nobody has any understanding for that. Then you can explain really well what kind of nonsense, what unbelievable nonsense just happened, especially in the relationship between the customer and the supplier. But of course, we're always very cautious and say, yeah, if that would be really cool. Just make sure of that in the future, and then it won't happen. But with the vast majority of customers, our customer success managers, we actually have a culture where you can talk about these things and explain them again. Understanding really helps a lot there.
Thank you so much. Oh, I would say that's it for this episode. Have a wonderful afternoon and a really nice weekend. And then we'll tune in for episode 6 next week.
I am really looking forward to it. And yeah, we hope. We're still looking for the perfect podcast name, I think. We even offered a prize at one point. The response to that was pretty mediocre, I'd say. The more we talk about these awfully nerdish topics, the more I tend to go with nerdish by nature. But I think we're still open. We're still the Billbox Podcast. See you soon.
See you soon. Bye.